Welcome to Marvel.
Yeah, welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Week 9 is in the books. Your boy Cliff here. Mr. Fahrenheit. Ugh, Mr. Fahrenheit. What can we do? Crazy week again with these backup quarterbacks that we've been tracking for a couple weeks now. I knew it was going to affect fantasy football, but for some of these teams, I didn't realize how much. You're talking Clayton Tune with the Arizona Cardinals. Oh my goodness. What a beatdown by the Cleveland Browns DST. I have them in several leagues. I know we don't play DSTs in our league, but that's when it's a little bit fun to have that DST. You know, it was forecasted that they were going to have a good week against a kid named Clayton Tune. And my goodness, he doesn't look like an NFL quarterback at all. You know, you have, the Bears quarterback there, Badgett. Time running out on him. Hopefully, Justin Fields will be back soon. I know he did throw a couple touchdowns to Cole Kmet this week, but other than that, just super turnover prone, not sustaining drives. Just some of these backups. Brett Rippin, the Rams backup to Matthew Stafford, destroying the value of Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee and Puka Nacua. We'll get into that in the studs and duds section later. Spoiler alert on which section they'll be in. Definitely duds. You look at the Giants. Oh, my goodness. The New York Giants situation is brutal. They're going to get Caleb Williams if they do this correctly. And they don't even need to try to lose the rest of the way. Daniel Jones comes back. He's finally back this week. I'm watching the game. He goes down awkwardly. To my surprise, at that point, his ACL was already torn. He goes down and plays a couple more snaps, unbelievably. And on a three-step drop back, his knee just gives out, and he knows at that point he's done. Torn ACL. The backup comes in. Remember, Tyrod Taylor's on IR. So this kid, DeVito, is brutal. He is going to get them Caleb Williams. If they should continue to start this kid. The locker room is not going to like it. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And it looks like the Giants are just going to be a dumpster fire moving forward, especially for fantasy. Darren Waller out. I don't know how much value Saquon's going to have. He's going to end up with like 10 PPR points per week. No ceiling, really low floor. If he has a real bad rushing game, all the defenses are going to know what he's doing out there. Not looking good, just these backup quarterbacks. Get the starters back. So we're going to be welcoming in Kyler Murray back this coming week. Hopefully Matt Stafford, he can get healthy on the bye week. And on the contrary, CJ Stroud. Let's talk about him real quick before we get into the matchup of the week. CJ Stroud went off. Obviously, he was on Elliott's bench this week. But not even talking about just for fantasy, the Texans, who, if I had to pick a team right now to switch with, I mean, I love the New York Jets defense, but is there a better situation right now in the NFL besides obviously like, the Bengals and Chiefs, but to have CJ Stroud as your rookie quarterback, you have a new defensive head coach. So that's the marriage that can work. If you have a defensive head coach and your quarterback looks this good, That's going to work. Usually you have a defensive coach and then your offense sucks, kind of like the Jets. You're seeing that right now with the New York Jets. It's not going to work. You need a quarterback, and the Texans have one. Puts up 470 yards and 5 touchdowns, and they were clutch too. He goes down and wins them the game twice. Hats off to Baker Mayfield, who thought he won the game at one point, drove down the field, won the game, and then the Bucs give up a last-minute touchdown to Tank Dell. So, in fantasy terms, 41 fantasy points for CJ Stroud. Again, I know Elliott didn't start him this week, but He is the quarterback 7 on the year now. Unbelievable. He was free in drafts. He was actually on waivers multiple times this year, free for the picking in multiple leagues. And it looks like now, till further notice, he's a must-start quarterback. So, yeah, again, this is like the third week in the row that the opening story of this podcast revolves around quarterbacks. And it's mostly not great. But Jen, you got some success stories like CJ Stroud. So there we go. It is now time, though, for the matchup of the week. And you know how we do here. Without any further ado, let's get down to it. Matchup of the week. It is now time for matchup of the week. Who's it gonna be? Jason, take it on. Elliot, we begin in Houston. Yeaters Skeeters versus In the Hunt. And Elliot takes the win 101-98. Very close matchup here. Let's take a look at Elliot's team. Rashad White, 25 fantasy points. Ooh. Unbelievable performance. 2 touchdowns. 73 yards on the ground and continues to get it done in the passing game. 4 catches for 46 yards. Rashad White, now the running back 16 on the year. As far as your dud goes, man, oh man, it didn't look good on Thursday night. George Pickens, 2 catches for -1 yards. That means Elliott had more receiving yards than George Pickens did this week. 0.9 fantasy points. Nonetheless, 101 points. Again, not too shabby on a down week in fantasy in general. Let's take a look at Jason's team. Hey, 98, not too bad. Your stud, Dalton Schultz. My goodness. I know we talked about the Houston Texans and how good they looked. 10 catches, though. This was no fluke. 10 catches for 130 yards and a touchdown. He just is looking the part. He's so efficient. 11 targets, 10 catches. My gosh. CJ Stroud, moving forward, can sustain multiple fantasy football players. And obviously, you know, Dalton Schultz is one of them. He is the tight end 8 on the season. When you have a week like this, scoring 22 fantasy points at the tight end position, that really helps you out. As far as your dud goes, could go a couple different options here. I'm going Elijah Moore, the ex-New York Jet. I thought was going to have a better season this year. He's just out there. 2 receptions on 2 targets for 2 points. You know, Deshaun Watson had himself a decent day. You saw, you know, Amari Cooper went off. We'll talk about Greg's team a little bit later with Amari Cooper. His targets, meaning Elijah Moore, are just not valuable. It's the Zay Jones type targets, you know, 3 yards downfield, gets tackled immediately. He's just not as dynamic as I thought. But nonetheless, Elliot, take the win. Moves to 8-1 on the year. And Yeater Skeeters, although he takes the loss here and remains at 1-8, he's scoring points. So as far as the Build-A-Bear Bowl, we'll talk about it later with some of the other teams that are in there. But Jason is still in it as far as getting himself out of taking that teddy bear out to lunch. Nice matchup. All right, our next matchup is going to be between Dixie Normus Gage taking on myself, Mr. Fahrenheit the Fourth. And I take the loss, 86-84. What a bummer of a matchup. Low scoring affair here. Obviously, my entire bench is full of bye weeks and injuries. Much the same over on Gage's bench. Jerry Jeudy on bye, Brock Purdy, Stafford injured. So he was on his third quarterback, starting Bryce Young. We'll start with Gage's team. Obviously, his bright spots are going to be his wide receivers. Once again, this is what his plan was heading into draft season. Stephon Diggs, 19.6 fantasy points. A.J. Brown, 16 fantasy points. Just two staples for his team this year. Really, really carrying his squad. And thank goodness for them. Am I right? As far as his dud goes, we're going to go Ken Walker. What a weird scenario for Ken Walker. The Seahawks just go to Baltimore and get trounced. I mean, never had a chance. Not the game script you want for Ken Walker, who's, you know, not a, you know, two touchdown, you know, deficit type running back that's going to get all these catches. He's not your Austin Eckler. He's your neutral game script or winning game script goal line guy. He's going to get touchdowns. He's going to, you know, break away a long 20-yard run here or there, but still remains the running back 8 on the season, but only 2 fantasy points yesterday. And there's thoughts of maybe Zach Charbonnet sneaking in there. I'm not worried about him overtaking Ken Walker, but he is definitely going to command more of the offense. And I'm speaking about Zach Charbonnet. They're not going to let him go to waste. They drafted him pretty high as the backup running back there, and he's got some juice. So Ken Walker looking for a bounce back week next week. Yeah, again, 86 points, not great, but it was enough to beat my lousy team. Going over to my squad, Zay Flowers, dud. You know, we'll talk about Gus Edwards a little bit more when we head over to Tom's team, but man, Gus Edwards is just ruining fantasy football for the Baltimore Ravens. He's scoring all the touchdowns, doing it very efficiently, and it's really hurting Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers looked great the first couple weeks coming in as a rookie. They call him the human joystick. It looked like I got myself a nice draft pick. Every time he touched the ball, he was electric. The only problem is he's getting the ball close to the line of scrimmage, and one catch for 11 yards just wasn't needed in this game. It was all running. You know, just not great for Zay Flowers. He is the wide receiver 37 on the year, so definitely not a must-start player by any means. Unfortunately, I had to keep him in the lineup because of the bye weeks. As far as my stud goes, Tom wants to call it luck, but I don't know. Cade Otton, my third tight end on my team, scores 20 fantasy points, 6 catches, 70 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I can definitely give you the touchdowns as luck, but it was a great matchup against Houston. I thought that was going to be kind of a shootout. Tampa Bay's defense is not looking as good as it used to in the Tom Brady years, so I thought Houston was going to be able to put up some points. Therefore, Baker Mayfield was going to have to throw a little bit. So that was my thinking through the whole thing. So I'll give you the luck on the 2 touchdowns, but the process was there for this Cade Otton start. I was proud of that one. 6 catches for 70 yards. I love that for Cade Otton. We'll see. Maybe I have to keep him around with Darren Waller going on IR. But nonetheless, I take the loss here by 2 points. Disgusting. I had a chance at it last night with, it was Garrett Wilson versus Breece Hall. And, you know, Breece Hall did just enough for Gage, and Garrett Wilson, you know, fell a little short for me. So I take the loss by 2 points here. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good. I moved to 2-7 on the year, and Gage, a strong 6-3 on the year. All right, our next matchup is going to be the Chicken Tendies taking on Sweet Chick Music. This is Josh versus Chick, and Josh takes the win 110-71. 110 points for Joshua in a week where I was very down on this week as far as those backup quarterbacks. I know we've been tracking them here on the podcast. I had put in my other fantasy chat timestamped, it was like 1:25 p.m. I said, guys, get ready for some historically low fantasy numbers, because right now these backup quarterbacks are just not sustaining fantasy value. And it was a very bad week for most fantasy managers, and not for Josh. 110 points is a great score on a week like this week. A lot of, you know, definitely some duds we're going to talk about here, but let's talk about the studs first. I'm going to bypass Austin Eckler. And I know Josh didn't watch the game last night. When he wakes up today, he should already be awake as he's listening to this. Austin Eckler showing 20 fantasy points. He had a terrible game last night. Probably as bad of a game as you can have and have 20 fantasy points, including the touchdowns. He did almost nothing to get those touchdowns. If you watch the game, he had 3 drops, couldn't get anything going on the ground. The touchdowns fell into his lap at the 2-yard line under different circumstances where the Chargers defender picked up a fumble from the Jets and ran it in for the touchdown, except he stepped out of line at the 2-yard line, so it was called back, and then Eckler gets the touchdown. They were almost just gifted him. Also, not really needed in this matchup. Josh already had this matchup won before last night. So as far as his stud goes, we're actually going Josh Jacobs. Welcome back to the Josh Jacobs we remember from last year. 98 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns, no receptions. That was a little odd. Usually he's one of those guys that gets at least 4 or 5 targets, but just wasn't needed. They destroyed the Giants 30-6. So 21 fantasy points. And did it, you know, looking really good on Sunday against the Giants. As far as your dud goes, we'll go Justin Herbert last night. Now, I know the Jets defense is really good. They're a top defense in the league. They're not historic or anything like that, but they are elite, I think. And this is what they do to quarterbacks, elite quarterbacks, 136 yards passing, no touchdowns. 17 rushing yards, only 7 fantasy points. So this will probably be the worst game of the year for Justin Herbert, and you survived it. So consider yourself lucky here, sir. And I'm sure you're happy to take the win. Moving on, looking at Chick's team, Sweet Chick Music. Dud of a week, 71 points. I know he was very disappointed in many of his players this week. I mean, you could go any direction here. I don't know what we really expected from Devin Singletary, 3 points. You know, he should have had the full workload for the Texans. If you told me before the game started the Houston Texans are going to score 39 fantasy points and Devin Singletary is going to be the primary running back, he has to score double-digit fantasy points, right? No, wrong. 3 fantasy points. I know he's probably pissed off about that, but none other than Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas, all year, I'm going to quickly read you his fantasy points every single week this year for the 8 weeks. 8.6, 9, 8, 7.3, 8.5, 7, 11.7, 8.8. So he had not scored below 7 fantasy points all year, and his high was 11.5 points. That's telling you that this guy is just a safe fantasy football asset. If you need 7 to 9 points, you just put Michael Thomas in your double flex position. Oh, no. Not this week against the Chicago Bears. You can tell that I also started him in the league, can't you? Because I couldn't wait to make this your dud. Michael Thomas goes goose egg, 0 for 0. I don't know what happened out there. I was asking around, like, I was at a restaurant at the 1 o'clock games, and I'm like, is Michael Thomas okay? One target on the game just wasn't needed. I don't know, but you expect him to be a primary target on those third downs, slant routes, and he just didn't get the ball. Disgusting display. What do you do with Michael Thomas now? Because now he's no longer that safe option, and he doesn't have that upside of getting you 20 points. He's never getting you 20 points. Even if Michael Thomas got 2 touchdowns 1 week, I bet you he's under 20 points. It'd be 4 catches for 24 yards, 2 touchdowns. Something stupid like that. He wouldn't get to 20. That's just the way it is right now for Michael Thomas. So, you know, as far as your stud goes, it's good to see Nico Collins back. Unfortunately, he was not the best Houston Texan that day. It was unbelievable game by C.J. Stroud. We'll get into that later when we talk about Elliott's team and his bench and future. But 12 fantasy points for Nico, got it done mostly in the first quarter. And then it was the Tank Dell show, you know, unreal. So, but Nico is just having himself a really good season. He's the wide receiver of 14 on the year, and he's just a start-em-up type of guy, especially now with C.J. Stroud proving he's you know, sustaining multiple players for fantasy football. So better days ahead for Joe Chick. But he does, unfortunately, move to 3-6 on the year. He just can't climb out of this funk. You know, he's like teetering on that line of Build-A-Bear Bowl and playoff contender. It's weird. He's kind of stuck in the middle in no man's land. And I know he's looking forward to, you know, his starters coming back. Calvin Ridley and George Kittle and Travis Etienne. Better days, and James Conner could be coming off IR. So I think he's going to make a late run here. Don't be surprised if Joe Chick sneaks in at the very end. But nonetheless, Josh moves to 8-1 on the year. Unbelievable. Congratulations. All right, our next matchup was in contention. There was only really two matchups I was looking at for matchup of the week, but this one here was one of them. Greg's team, 109 to the Teddy Bears, 99. Greg beats Maddie. Maddie drops two in a row. Let's take a look at Greg's team, 109 points. We talked about it with Josh's team. 109 is a great score this week with all the bye weeks, injuries, and such. So, nothing to shake a stick at here. Let's take a look at CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, both scoring 22 fantasy points. Kind of a kind of like the same build that Gage has, just heavily reliant on those premier wide receivers. It's good for Amari Cooper that he got Deshaun Watson back. He really missed him. What a game, though. Five receptions, 139 yards, and a touchdown. Very efficient. On the other hand, a PPR game from CeeDee Lamb, 11 for 191, just narrowly missing a touchdown. You know, at the very end of the game, was 1 yard short of winning the game. Just Dak had to underthrow it. And, you know, for fantasy purposes, you didn't need it, but it would have been a nice stamp on this matchup. But nonetheless, you take the win. As far as your dud goes, it might be the end of the line here for Zach Moss. Looks like Jonathan Taylor fully took his job back this week. So we'll see with this hero RB build with Bijan Robinson if this is going to work going forward for Greg. He does have a couple options on the bench still. Jalen Warren had himself a decent game last Thursday night. So maybe he thrusts him back into the lineup. We'll see, but Bijan Robinson as his running back one's not looking great right now. Definitely not Bijan's fault. Looks like he might have been punished for a fumble. Yeah, Arthur Smith is just, oh man. It's to the point now where Arthur Smith, the coach of the Atlanta Falcons, he knows that people complain about him in the fantasy football community, and it's almost like he's doing it on purpose to make sure we're upset with him, and he's forgetting that the main goal is to win NFL football games. I'm not joking. He's commented, I've heard interviews where he's basically maybe not making fun of fantasy football players and managers, but he's very aware of fantasy football and the impact, and it just seems like he's doing everything possible to make sure at the goal line. This is what I'm going through with Tony Pollard too, by the way. At the goal line, the Cowboys and the Falcons refuse to give it to their two best running backs. I mean, refuse. And anytime Tony Pollard does get it in the end zone at the goal line, which is like almost, I feel like, a really good percentage of the time he gets in, it's called back for penalty. So, a lot of weird things going on in Atlanta right now, you know, with the quarterback switch and Bijan. I mean, he's not giving you that first round value in fantasy drafts. He's the RB14 on the year, which we should expect him to be much higher with all the injuries going on. But we'll see if maybe a second half breakout for Bijan Robinson. He's not killing you most weeks, but this week, 4 fantasy points, not gonna help you. Moving on to the Teddy Bears, 99 points, still not that terrible. Again, if you look at some of the scores this week, that would have beat multiple teams. It's just one of those things where you're dealing with injuries right now, and looks like we had a Jacoby Myers left on the bench. That definitely would have helped. So I'm trying to think if he did that. Oh, I remember. So Maddie last week had Pittman on the bench and Jacoby Myers in, and I think he lost to me. And this week he said, oh, I need to switch that. And Pittman had a good game, 10 points. Jacoby Myers had 12 fantasy points, so he could have fit him in somewhere else. You know, this is all hindsight stuff. But it's one of those situations where he's got to try to figure out how to get Pittman and Myers into his lineup, because right now they're scoring more on the bench when he has them. But let's take a look at his squad. As far as his stud goes, this is a weird one. Nice start, Baker Mayfield. See, this is maybe he saw what I was seeing with Kate Otten. And I'm not joking. Like, Houston puts up big numbers. So that means the fantasy options for the opposing team should have a good game. And Baker Mayfield, 19 fantasy points at the quarterback position, 265 and 2. That's a good fantasy start right there, because he's dealing with a lot of injuries here with Justin Fields. And he was smart enough to not start Will Levis. He wanted to see what he had in him. And that was just a good start right there. Moving on to his dud, couple of different options here. I'm not going to give it to Dallas Goedert because he got injured. It looks like he might be a candidate for IR. I think he fractured his arm. But Cooper Kupp, not great. 5 fantasy points. And the bigger concern, you know, if it was just a down game, no problem. The bigger concern is moving forward. You need Matthew Stafford back. And I believe, let me just take a look here. It looks like, yeah, the Rams have a bye this week. So that might be the best thing possible for Maddie here, because you're going to start Cooper Kupp no matter what. So if they're playing this week, you have to start him. And it looks like Matthew Stafford is going to get an extra week to get his injury taken care of and hopefully come back and sustain, because Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp and the running backs, Tyler Higbee, I think Goose this week. So the offense is just not looking good without Matt Stafford. It shows how good Stafford is even in his older age. So Cooper Kupp, I think, is going to be your dud for the second time this year. That's so weird to say. Such an elite player. But when you don't have a good quarterback, hard to sustain that value. So nonetheless, Teddy Bears moves to 7-2 on the year. Again, drops 2 in a row. And Greg moves to 5-4. He's in the hunt, or I should say on the doorstep of the playoffs. So taking a quick look at the playoffs, if playoffs were to start right now, Greg would be the final team in as the 6th seed. So congratulations to Greg. Our next matchup. Ugh, gross. The Zen Crusaders taking on Unleash the Beast. This is Chris Roach taking on Alicia. 51-70. Where's my free win? Unbelievable. Alicia takes the win 70-51. These are those low scores I was talking about, by the way. I mean, it's going to be hard to find studs and duds in this matchup. Now, I do have a stud for Alicia, Jonathan Taylor. 15.4 fantasy points, 47 yards on the ground. Not great, but he did get a receiving touchdown. He had 5 receptions, which is good to see, but mostly why he's an official stud for you is because he gets his role back. It seems like he's back to that 70-30 split in the running back room, and it looks like he's going to be the Jonathan Taylor of old. He's already the running back 33 on the season after missing multiple weeks in the beginning. So it looks like Taylor is going to be a staple for Alicia's team moving forward. But man, duds everywhere. I'm just going to go Travis Kelce for her. I mean, I have to take that opportunity. It's very rare, but what in the world? 3 catches for 14 yards? Did the Dolphins really do a good job shutting down Travis Kelce? If they did, they forgot to win the game on the other end. But shutting Kelce down 3 for 14 is no easy feat, and the Dolphins were able to do that. If you told me before the game started that Kelce would have these numbers, I'm thinking Dolphins win, right? Because who else is going to score the points for Kansas City? But that's what they do. They spread the ball around to anybody who's available, and it was a McKinnon and Rashee Rice day, I guess, just one of those things. So a very down week for Alicia, 70 points, but gets the win. That's going to be huge in the Build-A-Bear Bowl. Moving on to Roach's team, an even worse game. My goodness, where do I start? We have two goose eggs, Tyler Higbee, 0 points at the tight end position. Gabe Davis, 0 points at the flex position. You got Geno Smith, not much better, at 2.6 fantasy points at the quarterback position. You can't score two at quarterback. You got KJ Osborne, who was injured, left the game early, 2 fantasy points. It was just disgust. His third highest scoring player was his kicker with 11 points. Keenan Allen last night did the best he could, 11 fantasy points. Just a tragic week for Mr. Chris Roach. One of the lower scores we've seen here, but his Chargers did take the win last night, so I'm sure he's happy. And they're gonna be a wild card team if they can keep it going. Again, I don't think Justin Herbert will face another defense as good as the New York Jets was last night. I mean, they gave him everything he possibly could. We won't stay on this matchup too much longer. There just wasn't a lot of concrete, tangible things we can take away from this matchup. So Chris is going to move to 3-6 on the year. All of a sudden, Chris Roach is finding himself creeping into that Build-A-Bear Bowl. We look at the standings, and Alicia does move to 2-7 as well. But you look at the standings, Joe Chick's also 3-6, but has 956 fantasy points to Chris Roach's 838. So Chick is pretty safe, I'd consider, even at 3-6. He's making more of a playoff push, while myself, Jason, Alicia, and Chris Roach find ourselves heavily in the Build-A-Bear Bowl. I mean, I'm only one game behind Chris, and I have looks like I have 30 more fantasy points scored for. So all of a sudden, Chris Roach on the doorstep of the nice restaurant, possibly bringing a teddy bear to a restaurant. We'll see. Welcome to the Build-A-Bear Bowl, Chris. And our final matchup for week 9 is going to be the Pillar of Fire taking on Ball Too Well. This is Tom versus Taylor. And Tom takes the win, wow, 125-75. This one was not close. A 50-point win for Mr. Thomas Banks. Let's take a look at his squad. Definitely some good studs to consider, but I'm going Tank Dell. That seems to be the theme this week for studs, the stud section. Tank Dell, 6 catches, 114 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Good for 26 fantasy points. And the reason why I'm making him the stud for Tom's team is because he had the wherewithal to actually bench Deontay Foreman this week, who had been a staple for his team the last couple weeks. And he was able to bench him. And, Foreman got 8 points, but it's nothing compared to that 26.6 fantasy points from Tank Dell. So just a great start there by Tom. As far as your dud goes, we could go DJ Moore or Puka Nacua. Maybe we'll do a twofer. 3 fantasy points for DJ Moore. Not much better for Puka Nacua. 4 fantasy points. We talked about the struggles with Brett Rippon at quarterback. He's just one of those low-end backup quarterbacks that are just not good for fantasy football. He's not a Josh Dobbs. He's not a, name your at least average backup quarterback. Brett Rippon is terrible for fantasy football purposes, so we need Matthew Stafford back quickly. The fact that you have such elite talent at wide receiver, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, even Tyler Higbee, I think, at least an above average tight end as far as the receptions go, he's available, 5 yards down the field. You have those weapons at your disposal and you can't get them the ball. You are not cut out to be an NFL quarterback, especially against the Green Bay Packers. I mean, they're not even a great team. So better days ahead for Puka Nacua and DJ Moore, most likely when they do get their starting quarterbacks back. Those are just two guys. You want to start them and and assume that talent will win out and get some fantasy points, but that's just not always the case. Moving on to Taylor's team. Tough week for her. She was kind of in the same situation I was. A lot of injuries, a lot of bye weeks. Christian McCaffrey, obviously on bye this week. Her tight end, Evan Ingram, was on bye. You know, she just didn't have a lot. You know, she had Drake London as a late injury scratch on Sunday. Just didn't have a ton to work with this week and only scored 75 points. As far as her stud goes, how about T. Higgins? I know Josh Allen had a good game, but he looked a little off as far as football, real football goes. I know he scored 24. Not bad, but we're going T. Higgins because I know this is probably a sigh of relief for her. 15 fantasy points, 8 catches for 110 yards, no touchdowns. But again, we talked about 15 fantasy points with no touchdowns is a great baseline. So better days ahead, even more for T. Higgins. It looked like the game plan for the Buffalo Bills shut down Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins was just open all night long. It started from the first quarter, and it went throughout the night. So a nice performance here for T. Higgins, and she can have more confidence playing him moving forward. Not that she was going to bench him, but you know, you never know. Joe Burrow early on in the season didn't look healthy, and that was affecting T. Higgins, and there was talks about him getting traded. He's on a contract year, so I don't think the Bengals are going to re-sign him in the offseason. So, you know, you thought maybe they could have moved him at the deadline, but they're going for a Super Bowl. I know they started off pretty bad, the Bengals did, but the goal was always to get Joe Burrow healthy, and as you can see, they're on a little run now, and they're back, you know, back to form. The Bengals are definitely going to be a Super Bowl contender in the AFC, and T. Higgins is going to be a big part of that. As far as their dud goes, I mean, we didn't Keontae Ingram. I know it's like it's one of those things. You just, what do you expect from him? He's never shown us that he can be a good running back, and I believe he was the starting running back for the Cardinals. DeMarcado, I believe, was ruled active pretty late, so she thought maybe she had a free square there, getting a starting running back. And it was kind of the same situation with like Devin Singletary. It's like, what happened? I mean, you had the whole backfield to yourself, but Cleveland just beat down on the Cardinals 27-0. That, again, Clayton Tune, a backup quarterback. Kyler Murray, thank goodness, will be back next week. Give us some more fantasy options, so that'll be better for Trey McBride. Maybe you see Taylor throw Trey McBride in her flex spot next week because she'll have Evan Ingram coming back from bye. But nonetheless, thank goodness, get rid of these backup quarterbacks that just appear to not be NFL quarterbacks. I know she's got to be frustrated with him. Another one we could consider is Brandon Cooks. 1 fantasy point, you know, 1 catch, 7 yards. Just, he's pretty washed as a wide receiver right now. He'll have his little 6-point games here and there, but other than that, he's not the Brandon Cooks of old where he's getting 1,000 yards everywhere he goes. Those days are gone because Dak is playing really well, over 300 yards again for Dak Prescott, and just none of it is going to Brandon Cooks. He's probably the 4th read on the offense. So Taylor does take the loss, moves to 4-5 on the season. She is by no means out of it as far as playoffs go, and she's also by no means out of the Build-A-Bear Bowl yet. She's kind of in that Joe Chick area here, so she finds herself, you know, trying to move forward here, and I think she will with Christian McCaffrey. Her team is coming back this week, and I think she'll be fine. And Tom making a run for himself, 5-4 on the year. If playoffs started right now, Tom would be the 5th seed, so not too shabby, my friend. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Week 9 is in the books. Thank goodness. Miserable week, personally, for my teams and my football team, the New York Football Jets. And I hope you all enjoy your week. Be safe out there, and we'll see you in week 10.